that Shikul Hadas and Davar HaMishnah is a huge topic, and it's also relevant practically, so it could take us a whole year to try to actually clarify all those practically. So I brought two sperm to help with both of those points. One, just to give you a sense of how big the topic is, this entire sefer is 160 pages or so, big ones. It's all about the sugya. So we're not going to be able to go through everything in it. This sefer is a practical halacha sefer by Rabbi Zilber, who's written many fascinating Choshen Mishpeh and Adon Chaveiro sugyas. So I brought it in to show you how a more summarized version of these dinim as they are translated nowadays might apply. So between these two svarim, you get a little bit of a sense of what it is exactly we're talking about. But first, let's try to get a sense practically of what we mean conceptually. We'll see how much we can cover in our brief time today. So we know that we have this distinction. We've been talking the past few days about the concept of tos when it takes place by a dayan. And we saw that there is a certain latitude that is given to a dayan mumcha, and maybe any dayan, if the mistake is a davar hamishnah. So that latitude, we saw yesterday the Rambam, maybe looked at it again, that the Rambam talks about there being a exemption because he doesn't intend to be mazik. We spent some time trying to understand the mazik v'reshus, so why does intent matter? Is it because of mazik v'reshus? Is it something else? And the fact is that the idea of this p'tur seems to be, like we saw yesterday, in the context of a rofe, and the sugyas are very much connected, that this seems to be more of a takavas hatzibor, that we're concerned that people are not going to get involved if they're going to be held accountable for every mistake. So it seems that this is an institution, possibly could be explained through Hefker Bezdin Hefker, possibly through Dinin Malchus Adina, through some other communal force that we put into place in order to make sure that people should be willing to take on these jobs in the first place. Hi.
Do we have the same thing by regular Hezek person planning something that they were meant to kind of that since people won't plan things, therefore they need also the same kula?
Lending? Are you from Shmir Bavaila?
It could be, yeah.
Shri Babaylam is actually more complicated in which involves the interaction of borrowing property and working for people and the like. And that's a din of the Torah. It's a little bit of a mysterious din of the Torah, which unfortunately I have a hard time trying to explain why it is. It's probably a different concept. But we do have a certain coolness sometimes we want to encourage certain behavior. So here, maybe we want to make sure that people will take on the task of judging. Just so we want to make sure we have doctors, so we have a certain policy. And practically speaking, as he notes here in the Sefer Shara Mishpat, he quotes the Sma, that in terms of that p'tur, the p'tur applies even on the level of lefnim b'shir v'sadin. That even if he wants to try to be super frum and try to do everything as the best possible way, he's still not obligated to pay for the consequences of a mistake, the davar hamishnah. That seems to be a policy on behalf of the tzibur, and it seems to be that we probably extend that also to a tos v'shikul hadas if the person involved is a mumcha with kabbalah. That's what our gemara says, right? That a person who's a mumcha and has a kabbalah could be pater. And perhaps that applies even when it is a tos b'shikul hadas. It's not 100% clear from the Gemara, because the Gemara goes back and forth to try to suggest what are the different distinctions. So let's talk for a few minutes about what this concept means about shikul hadas versus davar hamishnah. So how would you translate those terms? What do they mean to you? Yisrael?
Davar hamishnah is something that's pretty clear, something obvious that either, not that everybody should know, but somebody who's possibly a lot of us should obviously know.
Okay.
And Shigo Das is something...
So just to capitalize on your words, though, so you're emphasizing that the issue is, because you already made a judgment when you said that, it might be relevant, that the issue is people should know it. So therefore, there's some higher degree of liability?
Yeah.
Although it's interesting because it kind of works out the opposite way, right? Because it's ironic because you would think that that's how it should be. But a Davar HaMishnah ends up being a better mistake for the Dayan to make because that we see a normal Dayan is going to be putter for that. While Shiko Hadas, he may end up having to pay out of his pocket because Shiko Hadas, we don't reverse.
Right.
So it's interesting to figure out how much it makes an impact here. But okay, go on. And Shiko
Hadas. Shiko Hadas is something where. We see where he could have made the mistake of why he would say something and not the other. You know, the Gemara says that that it's we have two different opinions. You know, it's not clear in this part where which opinion we go with, but somewhere else is the opinion we follow.
So it's interesting that that's how you're assuming. So again, there is I think intellectually a lot to lend itself to say that. That Davar HaMishnah is something where there's a greater liability for a mistake. We have to see how that syncs up with any of the actual halachos that emerge from it. But it could have made sense to say that oh, you make a mistake with Davar HaMishnah, that's really bad because this is step one. And Shikol Hadas, okay, that's a little more understandable. Now, I tell you colloquially, I think that's how we use it. If you want to say that something's a real mistake, and it's really an inexcusable mistake, so we say that, okay, he's told the Davar Mishnah, he doesn't understand what the text says. While Shiko Hadas, usually using it as an expression, would sound like it's a more understandable mistake. I think you're wrong, but I can see, okay, why you're wrong. While that makes sense, but again, how that accords with the halachas that emerge, might be it's just ironic that it ends up coming out differently, but Misvara, that makes sense. All right, you wanted to...
Maybe you could say that to answer that question is... Davar Mishnah, why it's why he has more flexibility there is because he should have known better.
Mm-hmm.
We expect him to know better. The fact that he made a mistake in the Davar Mishnah means that it was something that perhaps outside of his control or outside of what he should have been expected to be able to do. So he has more flexibility because he really does know better. He just made a mistake in something that he really should know.
So how did that? Why should that translate to him having more flexibility?
So because it's something that going into this he would have done, he should have done, he did know,
so it's
but
like
he made a mistake.
Freak of nature that he
right exactly. I don't want to use the word onyx, but that's what I'm
saying. That somehow we can't blame it on him. So it must be that somehow this was Daf Yomi yesterday, right? 2 days ago. Meshit Chacham Machor. That Shechter sometimes refers to that Gemara as also part of the Hashgatha. The Gemara says, if you ever learned these Gemaras on Tisha B'Av, the Churban Habayis Gemaras, which were Daf Yomi a day or two ago, the Gemara asks why it is that Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he was given the choice of any request, as Bajian said, whatever you want, I'll give you, I'm so impressed with you. So he said, it's a fond Gemara for all us KPY guys, he says, that's on our mugs and our napkin holders. We like that line. But the Gemara says that that's a great line for the KBY guys, but it's hard to understand because there are other things which we also value. So why didn't he say something like that? Can you say some mikdash? Why didn't he say, why don't you just go home? Leave us alone this time. So the Gemara has a couple of approaches to that, but one of them, it quotes a pasuk, Meshul Chachab Machor V'daitan Yisokel. That sometimes God turns the Chachamim backwards and confuses them, which makes it sound like that's also a part of Hashgacha, that sometimes our leaders will make inexplicable mistakes, and that's part of God's plan. So maybe you're saying something along those lines, and if the mistake is so blatant, then that's already God's plan. Okay, could be. I mean, it could be that's a part of it. We see the other parts of it too, but it's interesting. Hi.
Could it be that it's more the Baal Shem Hadas, it's something that, since we don't necessarily expect him to know, we would expect him to take more caution and not necessarily get involved, and therefore, when they mess up by something like that, meaning you should maybe ask around more, figure it out more, and seem to try to get a better picture, where if it's something that's another Mishnah, So we could understand that, yeah, you didn't ask other people, you didn't see any problem getting involved, and even though, yeah, you messed up with something obvious, but your involvement in the first place was okay.
Which is along the lines of the Mumche Ptur, right? That when somebody is considered to have reason to be confident in his knowledge, so then, okay, if he makes a mistake, it's not his fault. But when somebody knows he's not a Mumche, so then we expect him to work a little harder. Okay. All right, Morty?
Could be. When it's touched on the Mishnah, the litigants should have maybe pointed it out. The fact that they didn't, so it's like slightly there.
Assuming you have very educated litigants.
Well, the Dharma Mishnah, why do they have to be so educated?
Well, I see you have very high standards for your Balabhati. How could it possibly be that anybody in the Jewish community won't know a Dharma Mishnah? You're right. I mean, that's definitely one way to look at it. So, what does Shikul Hadas mean, by contrast? So, how do we understand Shikul Hadas? So, it takes some Shikul Hadas to figure out what Shikul Hadas means. Right, what would you have thought Shikul Hadas means? I would have thought it meant Svara by itself. Right? And it seems, again, probably colloquially, I think we use it in that way, which clearly has a big role in the decision, figuring out, okay, there is a certain amount that's in the text itself, and there is a certain amount that you have to figure out how to apply. So you can make a mistake in logic, and that has to have a category. So it's interesting that the Gemara doesn't push us in that direction. And there's a lot of discussion to be had here about how do we understand Shikul Hadas. What's our Shikul Hadas? What's the Dabar HaMishnah of Shikul Hadas? So the Gemara, on our daf, talks about things that are a matter of dispute. Things that have been argued, and even though it's my focus, but there is a certain preference from the what? What's the phrase our Gemara uses? Sugya d'alma. And the Gemara on Amud Gimel with Aleph has a different phrase. And also, if you look at the Rambam, the Rif, you look at other Svarim, you find different persos in these phrases. So, what's the other possible phrase that you find? Sugya de Shmaisa. So those two words probably connote different things. Just again, without looking anywhere else, I could have thought Sugya de Shmaisa maybe is more logic. That we have, Shmaisa could be a word for the Gemara, let's say. So we have Dabar HaMishnah, meaning the earlier, from the Gemara's perspective, the Mishnah represents that which was written down. In our day, the Gemara is also written down, but if you're speaking from within the Gemara, so the Mishnah is that which is written down, and the Shmaisa could be, how do we learn it? How does the application function? So there's a difference between a mistake and that which is written, and that how it is understood through logic and through analysis. Again, it doesn't get full support from the rest of the text, because the Gemara really suggests that it has to do first with a machlokas, and then, what happens with that machlokas? So our Gemara uses the expression sugya da'alma, which sounds like it's talking about what's the minig, essentially. What is the policy of psak as far as this question is concerned? So yes, there's a debate, and you should have the right to follow one opinion or another, but not equal. Why is it not equal? Either because Sugya Deshmaisa somehow pushes in one direction, or maybe because there's a minig ready to see it that way. But what's the Rambam's language? How does he interpret this phrase? And he basically makes it sound like a minig of psak. What's the Rambam's language? To explain a Tav Shikul Hadas. Tav Shikul Hadas, this is Vav Beis and Hilchos Sanhedrin. Kegon davar shumach lokas tanoim o amoroim v'lo nifsika halacha ke'echad mehem beferish. V'yasa ke'echad mehem v'lo yaza shekvar pashat ha'maise b'chol ha'olam k'divrei ha'acher. So it sounds like it's a question of public acceptance, that this man, he kept his head in the base of Medrash, so he learned all the svarim, but he didn't have his finger on the pulse of the street. He didn't know that out there everyone is following a certain approach, and that apparently is significant. Now, it's interesting, just to tie this into something we spent some time on last semester, So one of the issues that's discussed in the Sefer Shari Torah is,
well, wait a minute. If there is a rove on one side,
and, for example, if you look at Rashi here in Daf Vav, so Rashi says here, Hiluch Dino Kechad Minayi, that he explains to Sugida Alma, saying that essentially the Halacha, Hiluch Dino, is like one of them. So he fills that in a little bit more on Daf Lamed Gimel, where there he explains that Shikul Hadas refers to a Psak that is against Rov Dayanin. That most of the Dayanin pass in a certain way. So assuming that he's saying the same thing in both places, so really it's a question of what the general practice is. So in this Sefer he asked the question, well, if there's a Rov Dayanin in one way, so why is that Shikul Hadas? Why don't we say that's already Dover HaMishnah? In the later Sfarim, you'll see that there is an expanded definition of Dover HaMishnah. It doesn't mean Mishnayos, but it means that we're expected to know what's already established on the page. So nowadays, a Dayan would be considered Tov HaDover HaMishnah if he doesn't know not only the Mishnah, but he doesn't know the Shulchan Aruch, the Shach, the Taz, the Sma, the Gra, the Ketos, and the Sivas. Also would be called a Tov HaDover HaMishnah. I don't know if that would fill a Morty standard, maybe he needs to know more than that, but if he doesn't know the basic poskim, it would also be considered Tov HaDover HaMishnah. So if there's already Rov Dayanim go one way, so doesn't the Torah say to us, after Rav Mahatos, so then that's it, it's settled. So that's Dover HaMishnah, that's not Shikul Hadas. So he discusses here, something we made reference to at the beginning of this month, his book about it last month, says he doesn't think that it's going to help so much to distinguish between whether we follow Rov Deos or Rov Chachma. Still going to be a question, but what's probably the answer is, and again, this is something we mentioned last semester, that the halacha of Rov as an absolute din doesn't apply equally in all cases. That we say, after Rav Mahatos, when you have all the Dayanim sitting together in one room, and everyone hears everyone else's arguments, and then they vote. So then, okay, that creates an obligatory rov. But when you don't have everybody sitting together, Moshe Becha, or necessarily living in the same generation or the same century, or interacting with each other, so then that's not the same kind of rov. So that's very significant, because it means that we can approach Rove on two levels. That we could have an actual Mechayiv Rove, which could be like a Dabra HaMishnah, and we have a Rove which doesn't rise to that level of Dabra HaMishnah, but still is enough to factor in. That if the Dayan doesn't follow Shikul Hadas, meaning Rove Dayanim, you can have a Tanya on him. You can say that, look, it's not Acherav Mahatos in the same way, but it's still enough that there's something wrong, something we can call a mistake. Right? Because we have to figure out, why is this called a mistake? If it's just following the minority view, so the Dayan should be entitled to follow a minority view. Who's a Dayan? So it could be also that when we say Tos, so we mean that a Tos is part of the definition. That it's not necessarily a Tos if you happen to take an opinion against the majority view. So let's say, for example, and many people refer sometimes to Rav Moshe Feinstein's introduction to his Shilas and Shuvas, where he talks about why he feels it's legitimate for him to take on questions and take on views against some of the earlier Gedolei HaAchronim. So if a person, if a Dayan says, listen, I have proofs, I have reasons why the minority opinion is more compelling, so that doesn't necessarily make him objectionable. That's not necessarily a toast. It could be that we need not only Shikul Hadas in the sense of not following the minute, but also it's got to be a toast. So what might I mean by that? What if the Dayan doesn't appreciate that that's the view? So let's say he has the story one way, but his lack of comporting with the Shikul Hadas, with the majority view, is not because he has proofs that it's wrong. It's because he wasn't aware of it. So maybe that's where we get to an issue. So then, the question could be that maybe in both these cases, the issue is, would the Dayan himself agree when confronted with these issues that he should have said something different? And maybe that's how we'll establish a mistake. That if the Dayan, if he saw this Mishnah, they say, oh, well, I didn't know that. So then, the halacha is different. And similarly, Shikul Hadas, when people explain to him, but the minig, Rov Dayanim, is this way. So, he'll say, oh, well, if I had known that, I would have paskin that way. So maybe that's where it becomes a toast. And that's where we then have an issue. Just interesting, coincidentally, we're talking about these differences, so just as I was coming into the room, I got a faculty email which addressed an issue which students ask about all the time, that if you want to change a grade after the semester, just for the record, it's very hard to do, so try not to need that, but if you try to do it, I often have to explain to students that as much as I may have rahmanis on them and wish that they could have a higher grade, and it's a shame that they're now not going to get the Nobel Prize, but there's only so much I can do after the semester is over for various reasons, but one of them is that it says in the form, when you change a grade, you have to affirm that the mistake, the reason you're changing the grade is because you made a mistake, a computational error, and that you yourself, had you noticed it, would agree that it's a computational error. It's not just that the student says, I deserve an A instead of a B. It's that you added up wrong in your book, and that if you looked at it first, you would also agree, oh, I added up wrong. But a different kind of mistake you're not allowed to change. So theoretically, one could interpret that as probably the more colloquial Dabra HaMishnah Shikul Hadas distinction. That you can only change a grade after the semester if there was an objective mistake that is clearly an error. So then you fix the error. But a more judgmental, a svara kind of mistake, that if the student comes to you and says, listen, I'm a nice guy, you know, then I deserve a little bit more, because there have been more rahmanis. So then, that's not the kind of svara that can be master as a din, that you can change the grade for. So again, that kind of aligns more with the colloquial interpretations rather than what we seem to be seeing from the sources in terms of the definition, but it's a powerful statement in terms of the power of the Sugid Alma, Sugid Deshmaisa, the fact that there is a binding force that comes with whatever the minig seems to be. David?
Was what was the previous thing you were saying before? The thing about the grades? I mean, well, you were saying something.
I'm saying that the grade, they...
No, before that.
Before the grades? Okay, in Torah, the Dabra Mishnah. So, Lamaisa and the Rishonim, you do find different interpretations, because one could also ask, one of the major elements of Psak, where I think nowadays I think we find a lot of argumentation about, is what we call being Medama Milsa Lamilsa. That you might know what the source says, but you might make a mistake in assuming that the case in front of you is comparable to what's described in the Mishnah. So if a person knows the Mishnah but doesn't see that there's a difference between what it says in the Mishnah and what's in front of him, so then that should also make a difference. Or where do you fit in a toast with Metzias? What if there's an absolute reality issue that the Dayan simply messed up on? So that's probably worse than the Avraham Mishnah. So that's all a part of the equation. So, yes, sir.
Just going back to the last point, did that explain why the remission you would be able to, you would be off the hook for, and that you got asked, you wouldn't?
No, it doesn't really explain it. It's just in terms of understanding, the explanation seems to be because you have this policy that Dabra Mishnah is nothing, and the sake of Dabra Mishnah, the Psak doesn't count. So therefore, the individual who lost out to get his money back, because it gets reversed. So the dayan doesn't have to pay anything. Now, even if he can't get it back, so then he still gets exempted anyway because of this takanas hatzibur, that since he didn't actually try to hurt him, which might be because of a takanas hatzibur. But what about shikul hadas? So shikul hadas, why doesn't that get reversed? So here, Rashi says something interesting. The same Rashi we started before, and davav meral of the sugya da alma. So Rashi says, hiluch dina kechad minayim. V'azil ihu v'avid ki'idach. And so the halacha, so to speak, is like one, and this dayan said like the other. So hilchach dinei v'hada. So this does not get undone, because it seems to be a mistake that's within the realm of what could be done. So since the halacha has not been paskened in one way, hai baldin denakat lo boy l'shlume. So this baldin, who ended up benefiting from the mistake, so he doesn't have to pay back. You can't order him to pay back. The amale pasak deli l'dinai. He said, you paskened me the din the way that I like it. So, and the din is a real din, because it's a real opinion. It's not a mistake of Davar HaMishnah. It's not against the explicit din. Umihu ihu boy shlume. But the dayan is obligated to pay. Keva de sugyan de alma ki'idach. So Rashi seems to be addressing a few of the points here. The Rashi seems to be addressing that on the one hand, it's not like Davar HaMishnah that we reverse it, because since it is a legitimate approach, so the baldin who ended up benefiting, he has the right to say, I'm not giving it back, I have a right to keep it. But we don't go so far as to say, okay, it's a legitimate psak, and therefore there was no damage. The loser apparently has some taina on the dime, has some basis to say to the dayan, no, you still have to pay me back because you had an obligation to me to follow the minig, to follow the direction of psak, and the fact that you didn't do that, so there's no real reason why I should end up in that position. That's my bad luck. So therefore, you owe me something for that. Which is definitely an interesting combination of circumstances, and striking how that ends up different from Tavid Avraham HaMishnah. So what exactly is Rashi saying? Is Rashi saying that this is a chazakah, so to speak, that the loser has a chazakah on the money now, and it's a somewhat legitimate chazakah? Is Rashi citing here the principle of Kimli, which I don't remember if we mentioned, I think we mentioned it this year, which sometimes means that a mukhzak, the person who has the money in his possession, has a benefit to be able to say, I'm following the Anari view, and therefore I'm not going to give it up, but now the dayan has to make good by the other guy. So what exactly Rashi means needs a little bit more discussion, so maybe we'll just pick up that next time. So just to talk about our agenda, so I wanted to have almost finished today. We did almost finish, and we just want to say a little bit more word about this Rashi, and then maybe I'll show you how these principles are codified by halacha. That for a few minutes. And then what's up next is to talk about smicha. Essentially, the rest of our daf hey, talks a lot about netilas rishus and about smicha and the different types of smicha. So that's a major sugya. So a lot to talk about what smicha is, and that will also get us into a discussion about the famous smicha controversy of 500 years ago, the chiddush smicha debate. So we have a lot of exciting things to see. So God willing, that will be basically for next week. Tomorrow we have Truma, and I'll see what we can get from that. And Sunday we'll continue with the Sunday topics. So soon we'll be able to give you all smicha. Okay, so we'll daven now. Send me what.